Hi, welcome BBS. This is our Wednesday night call.
Hi, my name is Carolyn.
I'm
from Chico.
Hi, welcome to the call. And a few other people joined us. Do you want to say your name and cities?
Rick, I was here in Austin.
Was that Rick? Rick, I heard?
Yeah, Rick, Iowa City.
Hi, welcome to the call. Do you want to say your name and city?
Hey, it's Chris in Memphis.
Hi, how are you doing?
Hello. Hi, how are you?
Good. Hi, welcome to the call. Do you want to say your name and city?
It's Roger in Austin.
Roger? Hi, Roger.
Hi.
Someone else?
This is Deb in Oregon.
Hi, Deb.
Hi.
What part of Oregon?
Lepine.
Say that again.
Lepine.
Oh, okay. I'm in Scappoose over by St. Helens. So.
Oh. I have no idea where that is because I'm not familiar with Oregon. So.
It's about 45 minutes from Portland.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, south, right? South of Portland.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, well, that makes sense.
Yeah, it's nice they have another Oregonian on here.
Yeah.
And there was a few other people joined in. If you want to say your name and city, go ahead.
This is Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, everybody.
Hi,
Don. Hi, Don.
Hi, Don. Hi, good evening. Welcome to our Wednesday night call. Do you want to say your name and cities?
Anna from Kent, Washington.
Hi, Anna. How are you?
Fine,
hi,
thank
Anna.
You. And you?
Good.
Hi, it's Jim. It's Jim from Superior, Arizona. Hello, everybody.
Hi, Jim.
Yeah.
Hi. Hi, everyone.
Hi, Jim.
Hi. Hi.
Hi. Hi.
Hi, and welcome to the Wednesday night call. Would you like to say your name and city?
Lena. Donna.
Hi, Lena.
Hi, Lena. Oh, and there's Terry on here.
Yeah.
Hi, Terry.
Hi,
Terry.
Hi, Terry. Hi, Terry.
Hello.
Hey, hello. Terry. How are you?
Hey, good, thank you. Funny thing just happened. I got an email, and there were angels on it that the lady didn't put on there. Anyway.
Wow.
Who else is here? Would you like to see your name and city?
You're breaking up. It's Jim. You're breaking up. Is anyone else find that the call is breaking up?
No.
I'm going to call back. I must have a problem on my line.
Okay, you sound fine.
Yeah, it sounded fine on our end.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, and someone else just joined to the Wednesday night call. Would you like to see your name and city?
Yes, this is Suzanne in Columbus.
Hi, good evening. How are you?
I'm fine.
Good. We're just waiting for Wynn, I guess.
Okay. And who's this?
You'll be right here.
Oh, I hear Terry.
Hi, good evening. Welcome to the Wednesday night call. Do you want to say your name and city?
It's much better. Much better now.
Oh, hi, Jim. Hi.
Hi, I'm back.
And someone else just joined us. Do you want to say your name and city? Good evening. Welcome to the Wednesday night call. Do you want to say your name and city?
No.
Okay. We know who you are. You gave it away. You answered.
That sounded like Wynn to me.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm just imitating him.
Isn't it strange that we all have distinctive voices?
It's like a fingerprint, huh?
Yeah.
When did you say you're medicating?
I don't remember what I said, Jim. I'm getting Alzheimer's.
Maybe.
But, you know, Alzheimer's is a good thing. It's like, it shows...
Well, when have you got Alzheimer's? The upside of Alzheimer's, Wynn, is that you can hide your own Easter eggs.
I see. Yeah. That's a good advantage. All right, now, let's get started. And it's 6:09. Is it 6:09 to you, Terry?
Mm-hmm. 6:06 here.
Are you starting the recording?
We should, shouldn't we? Hang on, let me just see if there's any last-minute questions that came in before we start. Okay, if you don't mind. You know, I have this kind of crazy style where, you know, especially when I'm doing, tedious tasks, I make the whole city my living room. And then I said, which coffee shop am I going to go to now? And then when I get bored of being there, I go somewhere else. And then I go somewhere else. And the last place I was at, the internet was really slow. And I said, I can't leave until I send my email out. So anyone else do anything like that ever?
No.
No. I told you I was weird, right? and Terry's weird as well, because she'll go out and she'll drive down the block and she'll say, "I wonder where I was going."
Well, I have a funny email that just came in. It had angels in the background. I talked to the person on the phone, and she didn't put him there. So, that's a good sign.
I've never met a person that wasn't weird.
Well, that's the pot calling the kettle black.
I've met a few weird characters in my lifetime.
You have. The man in the mirror. The man in the mirror, right?
I suppose.
Well, you know what? The thing about it is that we got this idea that we're supposed to be normal, right? And can somebody tell me what the hell normal is? Huh?
Mediocre.
Boring.
Boring, yeah.
Donald Trump.
When you're an old soul, or an older soul, you don't have to even be that old. Everyone came here with a unique mission, something to learn, okay? And it's like there's more on the table than other people. And so you feel weird, right? Because you're unfolding, you're trying to unfold your own mission, and in a lot of cases, you got to figure out what your mission is or was, or what you're supposed to be doing, right? And I think, does that sound familiar to a lot of you?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and in some cases, okay, this is a really, I should be recording this one. In some cases, you have to, like really, really older souls, it's like it goes beyond having a mission. other than you're supposed to make a contribution in this realm. And you have to actually create your mission, okay? Because it's not obvious. And in truth, even when you had a pre-birth agreement with a certain idea in mind, okay, in free will, you can come across our group, and our group can catapult somebody beyond what their birth agreement was, and they have to figure something out. They have to create something. It's a creative process. It's not like, what am I supposed to do? What am I meant to do? What's God's will? Okay. So in any case, I'm doing my mission of copying all the questions that I didn't get while I was on the slow internet, and we're ready to start. Okay.
Okay.
So are you going to be Master Control, Colleen?
I'll do the start the recording.
This conference is being recorded.
Now, are you going to mute everybody and stop the dings from going off when people come
in?
Well,
the dings are off. The dings are off. And
okay.
I can mute everyone.
Good.
I think.
When she's successful. We're recording. Are we recording now?
Yes.
I want everyone to know that's listening to the replay that this is all Colleen's fault, okay?
Okay.
There's all these people that are waiting for something to happen, and I don't want to think it's my fault, and usually I blame Terry. So.
Yeah.
Stop picking on her.
It's helping me to.
Colleen, hurry up and hurry up and.
Stop undermining Wynn's professionalism.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
There we go.
Because Jim might say something more. Okay. You heard him. He was trying to get in the door. All right. So. But you know what? I'll tell you, some people are critical. And they say, why is Wynn this way? Why doesn't he get his act together? You know why? It's because the best things happen in between the things that are supposed to happen. And I remember this. Somebody said today, Wynn, everyone's tired of hearing your old stories. Don't tell your old stories. Find something new to talk about. Well, you know what? If you guys realize how many times you have to hear something before it sinks in, I know how many times I had to hear something before it sinks in. And sometimes when it sinks in, it says, oh, yeah. And you know immediately that you got it. But you say, I heard that before. It didn't register. And sometimes the most profound things are the most simple things, the things you miss. You know, we go into a lot of deep, esoteric, metaphysical, how the other side works, and it's all fantastic. But it only makes a difference when you can ground it into your life, when you can do something in your little 3D body than sit around waiting to ascend. So it's about mastering all of this stuff. And part of what I've learned about mastery is learning how to be detached, learning how to be detached from what people think about me, learning how to be detached about what I say next, and it causes me to kind of dance on a little tightrope, and that's very exciting because I don't know what's happening next, and you don't know what's happening next, but you know I'm dancing, and it's like It's like if I'm dancing, then I'm kind of demonstrating how to dance, right? Just because you're watching it. And you can dance. You are, every one of you can dance in your own area, in your own arena. But it's scary to dance because if you have the slightest self-consciousness about what somebody's thinking of you, then that self-consciousness is going to inhibit what you do. And I don't mean that it's not important what somebody thinks about you. In other words, if I'm going to go give a lecture, I'm going to take a shower, I'm going to comb my hair, I'm going to put on a nice shirt, because I know I have to make a first impression. Because if I screw up my first impression, then I damage the rest of my ability to reach people. I mean, I might be able to overcome it, but it still is important. And those people never saw me before. Like, you guys know how weird we all are, so it's okay. But particularly with new people who never saw you, you got to make a first impression if you're going to look for a job or if you're going to give a lecture. Or even if you want to approach a member of the opposite sex, in most cases, your first impression is going to count. And that's not the same as pleasing people. That is just working with human nature so you don't sabotage yourself, okay? So you see, it's a fine line. You can't follow a rule, and Terry's not ready, right? Tell me you're not ready, Terry? Terry, are you there?
Now I'm as ready as I could be because I had to unmute.
Okay. All right. And Terry, you know what? You are awesome. You know, you have given this work so much stuff, in spite of the fact that I make fun of you sometimes. and everybody knows it. And everybody knows that, you know, in spite of me being the guy in the front who's keeping the ball rolling, you're the woman in the back who's keeping the ground under the ball, okay? So, just...
I'm pedaling it there in the back.
you're pedaling it back, right. And you and our sources and, you know, your dedication.
Yeah.
So, and I think people know that, okay? Some people get mad because of the way I make fun of you sometimes. But I'm really not making fun of you. You know, keep in mind that in this idea of worrying about what people think, there are certain days when Terry is really out of it, really, you know, earth to Terry. And and even when she's like that, she still comes through on these calls, always. And I mean, she's saying, God, how could I be that smart, right?
Right.
Because
it's like nobody could answer that. And, oh boy, that's why I don't like to hear the questions beforehand.
right. And I'm amazed. I mean, keep in mind when we first started doing this, it's like I said, Terry's never going to be able to do this, right?
Yeah. It's like, he said, I don't want to do it.
She's too shy. She used to say, oh, where's Daphne?
Right. Not where's Daphne? Go. Daphne's yeah. Supposed to be doing this.
So, you know, this is not a dog and pony show. By any way, you know what a dog and pony show is, Terry?
Yeah.
You know, when you go to some kind of business opportunity meeting, right? And everyone's prepared themselves to highly motivate the crowd, so they'll all buy at the end, okay? And you see, because we don't sell much, I could talk about ozone machines or whatever, but, you know, we don't sell this work. and I don't want to sell it. I'm not saying I never will, to some extent, do it. If we do a workshop, it's okay to charge for it, you know. But we have enough free material that, and our three conference calls a week, that it's enough for someone, and many people have used all of that stuff for free and changed their lives incredibly. And, you know, I'm impressed because we get these amazing emails from people, and I go in and I read them to Terry, and she says, did we do that? You know, it's like, it's got a surreal, the whole thing is very surreal because, you know, how can I say it? It's surreal from the very beginning, talking to a voice that says of the Elohim, to having them on the phone with us like a friend, answering questions, beaming energy to us. Take a moment. Before we start, let's just bring the energy of the higher realms into our space right now and feel the presence of those sources that are showing up every time we do a call to help lift the vibration on this call. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, following the law of one, to join with us and create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
Yes. We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We are delighted to make this connection and to be with each and every person who is on the line or will listen to a replay at some other time. We are delighted with this connection. It does our energy, hearts good. If we ever say anything that does not resonate with you, do not accept it as it is not for you at this time. Do you have questions?
Yes, we do. Okay. Let's start out with Janine. And
where is Janine located?
I'm just looking. I didn't write it down. Janine from Salt Lake, okay?
Okay.
And she says, dear sources, thank you so much for all the help that you have given me in this lifetime and in all my lifetimes. I would like to ask what and how is the best way for me to progress now that I am starting my life over. I have my own place, and I'm not sure of the right direction in my service to other journey. Can you give me some advice in this area? Thank you.
Thank you. You yourself know the direction that you are going in. you have already taken big steps to move into your direction. If you were able to see all your past track, you would see that you are on a path, and that the path may have different avenues of expression, but the path is the same path. We take a moment and we see your location. We see your new beginnings and your new direction. And we see, as we scan with you, different areas of your life that you have experienced, that there is an area that brings excitement, new beginnings, new creation, new connections that will bring fulfillment. And see, as you scan these areas, what is the area of your passion, the area that brings in excitement, and the area that you feel is ethical and can move forward through all obstacles as you stay on that beacon of the passion, the excitement, something that you have wanted to do, and you may need some education to move more into it, but it is available for you, something working with others, something that can bring co-creation between you and others and bring you joy. Thank you.
Thank you. And keep in mind, when people are thinking, what am I supposed to do? It's, you can first of all experiment. You can feel the energy. I think when you take a step in any direction, and if you're really operating in a higher consciousness, you don't have to see all the steps, because you take a step and the next step will become obvious as you take that step. That's certainly been true in this work. When we first started talking to our sources, I didn't have a clue. And I said, well, I think it's important. I'll put something up on the web. And I did a website called conversationswithmygirlfriend.com. And I didn't want to say my name. I didn't want to say anybody's name. I said, they're going to come chase us. So I had girlfriend X and girlfriend Y. And Daphne was girlfriend X, and she used to yell at me all the time, could you stop me from being girlfriend X, because it sounds X-rated. And it's like, I didn't know what I was doing. You know, I put it up there. I don't even know how many people ever saw it. But I took a step. I took a step, and then I took another step, and another step, and another step. And even now, I don't know what, you know, I just redid our websites. I haven't put it up yet, but I'm more courageous to say things on a website, that I'm more willing to be vulnerable in a public way, so I could take a different step than when I was first starting. And I said, I'm going to be anonymous. I hope no one figures out who I am. And it's like, you know, Terry has watched all this. It's just been one step in front of the other, to the other, to the other. So if you want to really get on an energy thing, don't try to get it all together. Just take a step. And if you take the step and the first step isn't right, take another step, okay? Next question from Tad in Cincinnati, Ohio. And Dad wants to know about DNA with spiritual masters, okay? And he heard my talk, my DNA discussion last Monday, and he's quoting stuff about Buddha. In other words, Buddha was said to have an aura expanding a mile. Now, I don't know if that's true, Todd, but we'll just let it sit as part of the question. He probably had a big aura. And how many strands had he awoken? And similarly, how many had Jesus awoken while still corporal compared to his light body? Or was the light body beyond the necessity of DNA? And let me make another addendum to the question, Ted. My understanding is you don't just open a bunch of strands and hold them open all the time. At least, as far as I know, you don't. They are responding to the situation, the circumstance. So the question might be worded like, what's the highest activation that Buddha had and that Jesus had? And what percentage of time were they able to hold that high activation? Because I'm sure they went back and forth. I'm sure of it, okay? So if you don't mind, I'll add that to the question, and then we'll see how our sources respond. Thank you, Todd. Go ahead.
Thank you. The DNA is grounding for energies, for sending and receiving. And in a normal, well, perhaps we shouldn't say normal, but in an average person, the DNA and the chakras are within, operating within a closed circuit. And the more strands that are activated, the more the aura expands and the more that it can resonate together. When the strands are not activated, they don't resonate. They're just there as potential. But when they all become activated, then one can begin to move beyond their chakra systems and can move outside of their body, and their aura can really expand or contract. There's nothing wrong with the contraction also of the aura as circumstances require. One can become very small or one can become very large. And when one gets used to the operation of becoming small or large, then one contracts. It doesn't create headaches on the body because they are moving with it instead of suddenly experiencing the condensation of their light body into their physical body. So when one can begin to operate and unseal their chakras and release their chakras to operate in bigger areas, then the whole DNA system and the chakra systems begin to resonate as a whole, and the individual can then get very large and very small and have very much control over their life force. That is our answer.
Do you want to say anything specific about Buddha or Jesus in this case?
They had different resonances. Jesus was resonating with the section of the Christ consciousness. Buddha was resonating with a larger even sphere. Although they overlap to some degree. Buddha was resonating with another frequency system that brought in some star frequencies, and they were different origins, but they both were activating their DNA, stunning to a different frequency, but still vital life frequencies.
So they both had activations above the seventh strand into the space of the greater universe. Yes?
That is correct, but their home frequencies that they were tuned into in the larger medium of energies was a different center,
mm-hmm.
but they overlapped, the frequencies overlapped to some degree.
Okay. Now, the question that comes to mind is Buddha and Jesus were both public figures and influenced millions of people.
Yes.
I would suspect that there are many individuals that didn't become public, that operated in small enclaves, and that also may have had really big expansions, and that they weren't famous, so we don't know who they are, but they were influencing a small group around them. Is that true?
Just a moment. They both taught, and they both had followers that influenced the people around them. Now, the followers had smaller groups, but were still influential. Other masters spent their time in development, some in Tibet, and some Hindus, and they did not have as big a sphere of influence, but yet they achieved great heights.
So when somebody expands to a certain level, having a sphere of influence automatically goes hand in hand with it. Yes?
If you consider that their sphere of influence, we are looking at all different sorts of spheres, heavenly spheres, angelic spheres, monastic spheres. In general, it does have a sphere of influence because it is based upon connection.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, a question from Kat. And she didn't give me her city, but I thought her question is general enough and that it's something many people experience. And I'll answer it a little bit because I've had her experience. I know it. Thank you for this incredible opportunity. My question is, how can I stop spending lots of money and time on programs that promise to teach me to harness my energy to create magic in my life? Can I get the simple truth on how to tap into my energy for whatever reason, like healing, etc.? These programs all teach the same general vast thing, and I want to bypass this and ask the Elohim to give me the secret to help me release my inner chi. Thank you so much. And my little comment here is that we have learned that when we come together in group energy, we can have kind of an inner experience, but it does not solve the problem of how to have that experience when you're on your own. And many people actually can have the ability to bring in energy in a group, and oftentimes they don't give credit to the right sources. They say, I am a perfect master, or and they bring people to an experience that they're part of that group experience as well, but they make it sound like they're generating it. I think I am clear on these calls that I'm not generating this experience. I show up and I'm part of it, and I have a certain mastery, but I realize that it's a constant regeneration. No matter where I am, is a new creation. Each moment is a new creation. So I don't take the experience on this call and try to keep duplicating it. I have to recreate it, not duplicate it. And the key is to learn how to recreate this wherever you are, with who you're around. And it doesn't mean you have to interchange. You can just go somewhere and lift the vibration there, and you can practice that. And the more you practice, the better you get. But now I'll turn it over to our sources, and thank you.
Thank you. The answer, some of the answer to your question is buried within your question. How can I release my chi? So your chi is your own energy, which is yours. Now, you have many influences that are not you, but you may mistake as yours. And if you try to release chi from those, it will fail because it is not your thoughts. It is not your experience. It is not your social complex. It is perhaps media-driven. It is perhaps society's beliefs. And once you learn to distinguish what is really yours and what is not yours, then you will be closer to being able to experience your own chi, to express your own power. If you are trying to release something, a thought, a belief that you have taken on from something else and is not truly yours, and these things have a way of being clear when you think about them. You know, you might think, I've been trying to get rid of this particular thought, and it won't leave. And that means that it is based upon something that is not yours. So the answer is to release things that are not yours and get down to what is really yours, and that will release tremendous power that is all yours.
Thank you. Great answer. And next question is from, let's see here. Rich Buckley, okay? I am scared to ask your question, all right? Because it's got too many technical things in it, and I'm afraid Terry's mind will get caught up in it. So you can ask it again next week, if you don't mind. And Let me think about it, and maybe I'll ask before the call if it's something that is askable. Okay.
Is it concerning physics, dark matter, or something?
It's like specific star we label KIC 8462852, nicknamed Tabby Star, da 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 da, like that. Okay, so I'll ask it again, but it's so technical. I prefer to ask questions for people who are having issues that are up front and in their face, where they can actually get their answers and make a difference. Okay, but I'll ask it. But Let's see here. Let's go to Janine. We asked her a question. Deb Wren, okay? Deb, if you don't mind, I'm going to add an addendum to your question. I don't think you'll mind. Her question is, would you tell me about my Egyptian lifetime? First of all, I would like to say the addendum is, did I have an Egyptian lifetime? Would it be in my eyes good to know about it? And do I have patterns in this lifetime that are connected to that lifetime, that understanding anything about that lifetime would help me work out those patterns? Or do I have unfulfilled talents from that lifetime, assuming I did, that I can draw on that I haven't drawn on yet? I think that will be, I'm sure you don't mind me asking those things. So let me turn it over to our sources and see what they say. It's Deb Wren in La Pine, Oregon.
Thank you. You carry with you, even though it is buried in the subconscious, the memory of your entire past. It is only one lifetime, and a past. Well, there was more than one lifetime in Egypt, but there are many lifetimes earlier, and they make up your track. And just the fact that your attention is playing upon Egypt and what your lifetime may have been and the connection between this lifetime and that lifetime indicates that your energies are moving in that area to attempt to recover what it was in the more than one Egyptian lifetime that you had in the connection to this lifetime. We see you had lifetimes in Egypt that were once as a boy, and then there was one as a woman, and those were steeped in the Egyptian way of life. So you have memories from those lifetimes of what it was like. Then you have another lifetime where you lived longer and were a more prominent figure. We give you those clues, but we would like you to simply let it rest and see what may waft through your mind in connection with Egypt. You've already started to remember some of the energies from there. And we give you those clues that it may further trigger your memory.
Thank you. And now, Rebecca Clark in Cottonwood. And Rebecca, I might modify your question slightly. I don't think you'll mind. First part of the question is, how do we identify as God's heart instead of identifying as our human heart experience, where for me, I seem to get stuck at times? And also, are the Elohim still working with me and giving me grace? I would suggest on the second part of your question, it might be restated as, how do I enhance the connection with the Elohim and access grace, okay? Because the relationship with the Elohim is a co-creative relationship, and you're part of it, and it's not like they're going to decide to work with you or not, okay? But with that, let me turn it over to our sources. Thank you.
Thank you. You are a part of God, and as such, you can never be lost. Because you are a part of God, you can refocus downward. You can feel like you are separate. But you are still a part of the God force. You are a spark of God, and you can never lose that spark, although you can, like turning down the volume on a radio, you can dim it out and say, no, I'm sitting here in the human lifetime, and I'm not connected with that, but you still are. And when you can eliminate the interference, feelings about yourself that may place you as separate, place you as not as worthy, perhaps the feeling of not as worthy, when you can turn that volume down, you can begin to turn up the volume of your connection.
Thank you. Okay. I think it's 6:56, and I think that'll be our last question for today. But Don Herman, ask your question again. Rich Buckley, ask your question again. And there's a question from Margaret. I don't see her city. I was just going to look it up and see if I missed it in the email. But Margaret, send to your city and see if you can simplify your question, because it's too long. See if you can get to the bottom line so that it's more clear and we can just focus in on it, okay? And somebody asked a question about numerology, and we got that a little bit late, but feel free to ask it next week. And Margaret, yes, no, I don't have your city here. And particularly with a question like yours, your city is important. So ask it again and see if you can streamline it, okay? And on that note, we'll bring this show to an end. And I thank Terry so much for being here. I thank all of you for being here and supporting this. And store some food and water, please. You know, I hope you'll never need it, but it's good to have. Things are pretty catalytic out there. And if things shut down, or if something creates martial law, which some people are saying, you may have to stay in your house for a while, and you may as well be prepared, okay, with something to eat. So on that note, I'm going to open up the mute, and hang on a second. Here we go. Opening up, opening up.
All callers are unmuted.
Thank you from Seattle.
Thanks, Terry. Thanks, Wynn.
Thank you, Terry. Thank you.
All
right. Thank you, Terry. Love you all.
Dharmananda, you can ask your question again as well, okay?